Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, baggage fees are up pretty much across the board, and the Department of Homeland Security threatens to pull customs agents from sanctuary cities. Guess what? L.A. and SFO are sanctuary cities.
Our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:20 talks about fuel surcharges. Where are they popping up? And the bigger question is, are they legal?
Next year, Marriott will celebrate 100 years. Today's hotel chain started as an A&W root beer stand in Washington, D.C. in 1927. At 11:35, we'll share the history of the Marriott chain. From a root beer stand to a hotel empire, it's a pretty interesting story.
In Europe, air travelers are protected against airfare screw-ups by something called EU 261. Charlie Leoka from Travelers United will join us at 11:45 to tell us how to make that rule work for you.
Finally, at 11:55, we share some tips for leaving on vacation. Things you should do at home before you take off for paradise.
Thank you for turning into Sacramento's favorite travel show. Welcome to The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
I've been everywhere, man.
Jamaica.
Solo Seattle.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Let's go on with the show.
Hey there, it's us again, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. When I mentioned Sacramento's favorite travel show, I forgot. I think we're the only travel show, aren't we?
Yeah, but you know, it doesn't matter if there's a number two. If you're number one, why then you don't worry about all of that.
Well,
oh, goodness, goodness.
Yeah. Well, here we are again. We got lots of fun stuff to cover today and things to make you a smarter traveler. Mark and I, we had the privilege to go see Jack Gallagher at the B Street Theater on Thursday evening. It's the last week of his one-man show, An Irish Goodbye, and pretty much a finale for, it sounds like, for Jack as he's moving to the Cape and kind of ending his career here in Sacramento. Of course, as lots of great people have done, sometimes there's comebacks and sometimes there's not. Mark, what did you think of the show?
It was amazing and wonderful. And it closes tomorrow, but there are two shows today. One would be kind of hard to make, the afternoon one a little bit, but they've thrown in an extra show in early evening tonight, and there are tickets available. And it's showed on the internet, before I went on the air, is still showing that seats are available for tomorrow. So if you're a Jack Gallagher fan and this got by you for some reason, there may not be another opportunity, because Jack sounds like he's retiring and going to the Cape. And what he does is tell his story, the story of his two boys, and each who has a unique twist to them that I found to be fascinating, and the way that he told the stories. And it's obvious that his love for his sons is quite immense. Those of us who have seen Jack over the years think of him as a stand-up comedian and a funny guy who is always telling jokes. But this was as perfect of a show as I can ever remember seeing. I just enjoyed it so much because he was so honest about himself and his family and his life. And he was able to present it in a way that was really, really entertaining. And there was an occasional laugh too.
Yeah, there was. In fact, there were several outbursts of laughter. But it's a very unique show. If you're a Jack Gallagher fan, well, even if you're not, but you want to catch this before Jack moves cross country, we highly recommend it. I have to agree with Mark 100%. It's very introspective and just a lot of fun. You should catch it.
Yeah.
While we're on the subject of local heroes or local legends, if you will, I was watching the Kings game last night, and congratulations to them for beating the Golden State Warriors, the last game on their home floor for the season. And I was watching when Doug Christie went to the mic and said that we'd like to honor somebody pretty special to us here with the Kings, and they named the media center there at the Golden One Center at the Gary G. Mann Gerald Media Center from here on out. Gary was there, of course, in the crowd, and you could tell he was extremely emotional and very proud to get the honor. And anybody that you talk to that knows Gary or anything about him would agree this honor was well deserved, and congratulations to the G-Man.
There are very few people in life that you can know for a long— I've known Gary for, oh gosh, close to 50 years now, 45 years. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I have never heard a single person say anything bad about him. I mean, he's in the broadcasting business, and so people have opinions and stuff like that about his broadcasting, and I guess maybe I've heard a little bit of that. But him as a person, whenever him as a person comes up, the conversation is always positive. And, of course, he was a guest for us a couple months here ago on the program, and we'll get him back again someday. But as much as anybody, I am proud to have him with Sacramento across his chest. More people— Yep. —hear him say Sacramento than just about anybody else out there, and what a great guy to have as your lead man for a community. Gary is just a great guy, and so the fact that they have done this for him, long overdue. So congratulations, Gary Gerald.
Absolutely, and here again, something that will remain forever right there at the G1. Okay, we are Mark and Tom, and one of the things we do at the top of every Travel Guys radio program is bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. And with today's update, once again, Mr. Mark Hoffman.
Yeah, tickets for the 1928 Olympics, good Lord. For the 2028 Olympics will be on sale before you know it. They have announced that they're already taking reservations. Packages are now on sale, hospitality packages. So if you're a baseball or football fan, think luxury suites. That's what we're talking about here.
By the way, I did sign up and so forth, and I think it was just last week. Uh-huh. You get emails from something called LA28. And so I got my email from LA28 that said, thank you, but you were not picked in this round to get tickets. However, you will be included automatically into the next draw. So, you know, me and the family are just, we got our eyes peeled on our emails waiting for a response. Well, that wasn't the one we wanted, but we'll hang in there.
Well, if you made more money on the radio, dude, you could afford these hospitality packages. They don't actually tell you what they cost, but there's a website here that you can go to. So, if your pockets are just overflowing with money, it is possible to start making your arrangements for the LA Olympics now. I believe that there's a link on our website. Would you pay extra to avoid dealing with AI customer service representatives? This was a question posed by our friends at Travelers United. Charlie will be with us on the show later. Would you pay extra to avoid dealing with AI customer service representatives? In other words, real people. Yes, but only if it's a reasonable amount, 12%. Yes, but it would be better than screaming representative over and over again, 9%. I'm glad to hear other people do that, too. No, I do not think customers should have to pay more to get the help they need, 79%. So 4 out of 5 say, you know, I just want a system that works for me. 1 out of 10 people say, you know, if it was an extra amount to pay to get to a real representative, that they would be willing to pay it. And it shouldn't come to that, but for God's sake, don't give them any ideas.
Too late.
That, yeah. U.S. Airline ranked highest in the cost in terms in 2025 in terms of customer satisfaction. Who do you think it was?
Wow. United?
Yeah, this really surprised me. Southwest still.
Still, huh?
Still.
Is this an old survey?
No, it is not. It took this top spot last year. The new surveys will be published here in the next couple months. But the ones for 2025, which are out, show that Southwest has leading customer satisfaction scores across various different topics. Beat out last year's champion, Alaska Airlines. So I guess we're lucky here in Sacramento that two of our major carriers are the people who seem to care the most about their customers and try to present the best experience possible. So in that case, I would say that we are kind of lucky.
Well, there you go. Well, sometimes those kind of results, it's kind of like throwing a rock in the water, and it creates a wave.
Yep.
And sooner or later, that wave of dissatisfaction for Southwest is going to crash on the shore.
Yeah,
you think? Just hasn't gotten there yet.
You think? We'll see. Yeah. I think if they went back, if they tried to recapture some of the fun of flying on Southwest, and I don't know if you can do it, and you know there obviously was a corporate shift away from that, but every once in a while you get a renegade Southwest flight attendant who kind of acts like the old days and tells corny jokes and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And I just really enjoy that. I mean, flying is stressful and I don't have a lot to do when I'm sitting there. So if somebody says something that, you know, makes people laugh and the people around you laugh, why, it kind of releases a pile of endorphins around the airplane.
And right now, with what's been going on with the raising of the bag fees, there are plenty of opportunities to poke fun at yourself and crack the people up with comments that they could appreciate.
Yeah, I agree. How to sign up for PreCheck. If you go to travelguysradio.com, there is a link there. And the reason this is important is PreCheck is going, as we've mentioned on this program, they're going to a touchless security screening. So you're going to present your face in front of the camera, and the camera's going to recognize you. And when it does, the gate's going to open, and you're in. And you never had to interact with anybody. A few airports already have these security lanes, and they're much quicker because only a small percentage of people have done this so far. So if you and if you go to a really major airport and things are really backed up, while this was all going on with Iraq, it's lessened a little bit. And the TSA guys and gals, it's lessened now because they're back at work and hopefully will be there for a while. But this is something that you could do if you're a PreCheck person. You have to have PreCheck, but you can go online and you can get yourself eligible to go through the security lanes that don't have a person. And right now, those security lines are practically non-existent. So something to think about, particularly if you fly a lot and particularly if you use major airports like Boston or Washington, D.C., New York, Chicago, things like that.
Well, I have PreCheck and I love it. I've never hit a PreCheck line that even began to challenge the regular lines at any airport.
PreCheck was shut down someplace I was lately. I'm in a lot of airports. I'm sorry, I don't remember which one it was, but PreCheck was shut down, and the machine was broken. It was a small airport, so we all had to go through the regular lane. And the stuff people have to go through in that regular lane, I mean, they have to get naked and, you know,
forgot about it,
body scans and, you know, under your armpits and, you know, they
take
want to check everywhere.
Off,
yeah, no,
it's
I had forgotten.
Lose a shoe.
Well, and of course, when you go through PreCheck, the reason that is simpler and they don't is because they already know something about you, some things that they don't know about the people in the other lane. So they've already decided that you are, you know, we know enough about you to know that you're not going to blow up the airport or the airplane. And so therefore, we can grant you some concessions as long as you follow the rules and go through security. So,
yeah, but what they don't know is that was last time.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't know how you've changed and how your wife has been beating you. And you become an angry person. They should make you renew and have one more investigation periodically to keep.
Wait till I talk to your lovely wife Stephanie and tell her that you talked on the radio about how his wife beats him. Maybe she'll
I love it.
Her response will probably be, "Really? I didn't know that I could get away with that." Airline bag fees have been going up. Early in the week, I pulled a thing that said, you know, JetBlue and United have raised their check bag fees by $10, and was prepared to tell you that. But by the time we got to the end of the week, all the major carriers had fallen in line. Delta, Southwest, United, all of the big five have raised their bag fees by $10 each way. This is a way, they say, of recovering without raising airfares for people who have already bought tickets. Of recovering some of what they would have, you know, they're going to get, it's like a $20 increase in airfare. Plus, it's important to note that money collected through that particular method is taxed entirely differently than money that's collected on airfares. So they don't take as big of a hit there. So it is the reason the airlines are doing it that way is because it's advantageous to them. Anyway, don't be surprised if the bag fees are $10 more when you go to the airport. Doesn't matter when you bought your ticket, you're just going to pay $10 extra.
Do they charge bag fees on trains and on buses?
No. Not that I'm aware of.
Well, there you go. Take the bus. Take the train.
You'll be there Tuesday, perhaps. Let's see here. What are the most complained about companies? This is about companies overall. But I decided to mention this here because of the top 10, three of them are airlines. All three of the majors made it on here. And one of them is at the top of the list by quite a bit. That would be American Airlines. Airbnb is second. That doesn't surprise me a bit. We get a lot of letters about Airbnb problems to our Travel Guys website. People write me and ask me to help them. And in most cases, I can't help them. They've gotten themselves into a situation or done something wrong. And there's literally nobody that's going to be able to help them get out of it. They're going to be out some money. But Airbnb seems to have more of those situations where people get caught or trapped by something that was said or they didn't understand than anybody else. So it doesn't surprise me. By the way, the number of complaints in this particular survey, American Airlines 1,600 plus, Airbnb 1,200. So there's a big fall off there. Americans kind of got that all to themselves. Expedia, Facebook, United Airlines, PayPal, Amazon, Booking.com, Delta Airlines, and Uber round out the top 10 of that particular independent survey. DHS is threatening to remove customs officers at sanctuary airports. This is a long, I thought about not even including this and talking about it because it is a little bit technical, but you need to know that if you have a guest who's flying internationally and they're coming into San Francisco or Los Angeles, there is a remote possibility that the government is looking at the possibility of taking customs officers out of sanctuary city airports. And Los Angeles and San Francisco, big inbound airports, are both sanctuary city airports. So we'll keep an eye on this. It might not affect you here in Sacramento, but if you were flying someplace to someplace that was considered a sanctuary city, then it would impact you. So this is a story that we need to keep an eye on because it could turn out to be ugly for folks. All right, let's see here. The Forest Service. The Trump administration has decided to go after the Forest Service, say there's no reason for it to be there. It's 121-year history. What we're seeing is the trend across these is as the current administration erases these protective bodies, people are no longer interested in the rules that those bodies set up. So having to do with global warming and just the replanting of things and what point in time in a tree's career is it best to cut it down. The Trump administration is trying to step up the game, and the industry is kind of saying, why in the world would we do that? So anyways, I think that's enough. We've got, that's your travel news for today.
My favorite line there was, in a tree's career. A tree, yes, that absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
you know, I understand what you mean.
Nobody knows that trees don't communicate in a way that we haven't figured out yet.
We are the Travel Guys. Got lots to cover today. Thanks for coming along. Our Smarter Traveler segment is next. We're going to talk about, oh my gosh, fuel surcharges. Where are they popping up? Are they legal? Find out next here with the Travel Guys. Check us out at TravelGuysRadio.com. It's Mark and Tom. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. If you saw a large crowd downtown Roseville yesterday over by the rail yards, it was the big boy, 4014, 1.2 million pounds of steam engine on one of its last little trips.
Wow.
Built back in 1941. This train, Mark, me and a couple of buddies from high school, we went out and man, like I say, the crowds were enormous, and that was after major raining. And to stand beside it, I mean, you can feel the heat from this steam engine if you're 25 feet away.
Wow.
I mean, it was quite a sight to see. Anyway, I had to throw that in.
There are a lot of train travel fans. I mean, a lot, because it's a different kind of travel. If you're in a hurry, it's not for you. Then get on the airplane. But if you want to see the country and meet the people who live in it, why, then train travel is an excellent way to do that. And everybody who considers themselves a lifer traveler has spent some time on trains. And most people will tell you that in some cases their experiences have been very delightful traveling on the train. I used to do Amtrak up to Reno on a fairly regular basis, and our company used to. We don't do it as often anymore, but we still use trains in various parts of the country because people enjoy riding on them. Because if you're on vacation, then time is not as valuable.
Mm-hmm. Right. There you go. Anyway, so, it was a really big boy.
Yeah. Really big, huh? I want to talk a little bit here today about Southwest is making a major change to carry-on restrictions for tech items. And also we've got fuel surcharges, which we talked about a little bit in the news, how they are popping up. And the question is, you know, some people say, well, gee, is this legal? And the answer is yes. If you read the contract of carriage for the airline, which is basically your contract with them, it's very complicated and hard to read. But if you take the time to read one, you will see that the airlines are capable of raising the fares pretty much whenever they want to. They have to get government approval in many cases, but in some cases they do not. And as we pointed out in the earlier segment, the way they got around it this time was they raised baggage fees a little bit, and that is going to result in a lot of extra income. And plus, it'll be income from tickets now, whereas if they raise the overall price, which they have, of flying later in the summer, that revenue won't come to them until later in the summer. So if you have questions about fuel surcharges, they are getting bigger and they are popping up in more places. And in some cases, you know, if I go into a restaurant and they tell me, well, there's a 6% fuel surcharge, I'm going to find another place to eat. But it'll be interesting. If you have if a fuel surcharge pops up someplace that doesn't directly involve travel and you have to experience, drop us a note at travelguysradio.com and let us know that where this happened to you, so we can kind of do a little research. Southwest Airlines is announcing a major change to carry on restrictions for tech items. And since Southwest is our major carrier here, this is going to be important to a lot of people. The new Southwest planes have plugs for your computer, your charger, your whatever. But the old Southwest planes, some are going to be in use for a while, do not have chargers on them. So many people use, you know, they bring the portable charger with them that they've charged before they got on the plane, and now they plug their phone into it and all that kind of jazz. Well, those chargers have been known to malfunction, to smoke, to catch fire. You're used to these recent announcements when you get on an airplane or even in an airport. And so for people who, you know, they're basically telling you, listen, if this charger starts to get really hot, then you need to unplug your phone from it, because what's going to happen next is not going to be pretty. And they have had a couple fires on planes. They've had a number of situations where the portable chargers, which are lithium-based, that the portable chargers have started to smoke and caused a lot of concern on an aircraft. Let's face it, you're flying through the sky. You don't want to see metal things start smoking in the middle of the trip. So for Southwest, they have made some changes to carry on restrictions when they get these new, you know, they had to amp up the restrictions a couple weeks ago. They will change them back when the planes get to where it has power available on it. They're still not going to, they want you now to use those portable chargers and keep them visible. So they want you to use them and lay it in your lap, lay it on, you know, put it in your shoe, someplace where you will see it and realize if it starts to become very hot, overheated, so that you can stop using it, notify the flight attendants, et cetera. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And they want them visible so that they can see them if there is a problem and react quickly. Those are found that lithium batteries, if there is a fire, they're extremely hard to put out.
Yes. And the in this case, this is kind of a temporary thing. Southwest has a lot of planes without power at the seats. And so the new Southwest planes have power at the seats, but they're not going to just throw all these old planes away. And that's what's happening is people are used to those old planes without power, so they bring their own power source on a plane. And that's where the danger has come in. You know, they won't let you, they tell you not to check these lithium batteries in your checked baggage anymore because they don't want them heating up in the belly of the plane, to bring them on board in your carry-ons. And now Southwest has gone a step further and said, we don't want these things in your carry-on up above because that's a danger. We want it where you can see it, so if something goes wrong, you can react to it, and then we can react to it.
There you go. And I noticed on the new Southwest planes, I've been on one that has charge ports. They're USB charge ports. They're not AC. You can't plug your wall socket type of plug. It's the USB size, the small ones. And so if you're going to use them, you better make sure you have the right cable.
Yeah. Southwest is also limiting charging devices to one device per passenger on board. This is an announcement they made last week. So in your carry-on baggage, if you've got two of these lithium batteries and security picks it up, don't be surprised if they tell you you can't take both of these through security. And those suckers can be kind of expensive. So that's something that you kind of need to know. And I'm afraid unless you're listening to a program like this or you're a news junkie, you're probably not going to know this, that Southwest has made some changes with carry-on restrictions for tech items. And hopefully, as I said, as more of the planes have power and there's less need for you to bring your own portable power, these restrictions will go away.
All right. We are Mark and Tom, the travel guys. We got lots to cover. Stick around for more great information to make you a smarter traveler.
Hey there, Mark and Tom, the travel and entertainment guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for tuning in. Special guest Charlie Leoka with Travelers United's joining us. Mark, we've got some time here with Charlie. What are we going to talk about to make people smarter travelers this time around?
Well, Charlie has a plethora of things that will make you smarter. Travelers United is the name of his organization. So if you just go to the Google and put in Travelers United, a whole bunch of wonderful things will come up, and a whole bunch of them are free. You can be a part of Charlie's organization and a paid subscriber, but if you choose not to do that, there still is a lot of wonderful information that is available to you at no cost. I just want to get that in up front, Charlie, because sometimes I forget at the end.
That's really good. I'm glad you got it all in and good.
Until I came across your organization 10-12 years ago, I had no idea that there was somebody in Washington, D.C. advocating for travelers, and that many of the advances that we have had fighting and scratching over the last decade or so have been in no small part due to the fact that Travelers United has been there to press the flesh in the place where it needs to be pressed. That doesn't necessarily mean that every advance will hold. The current president has decided that some things that are favorable to consumers are not favorable to businesses or to the airlines, and so we're struggling a little bit. But I wanted to ask you today, Charlie, about there's a rule in Europe when people travel on airplanes over there called EU 261, which is something right that we don't have here in this country, that allows people to be compensated when their flight is delayed or canceled for a lot of reasons. Could you give us a recap of what EU 261 is?
Okay. EU 261, when it deals with Americans who are flying back and forth across the Atlantic, and you have to be going from the United States over to a European country, which is a member of the EU. So if you're flying into Britain or you're flying into another country which is not a member of the EU, European Union, then you're not covered. So you are covered if you're flying between the United States and of European Union. And there you're covered only if you're flying on foreign metal. And in other words, we say that metal, that means on a foreign aircraft, which is painted with Lufthansa or painted with Aer Lingus or painted with a Lufthansa or with a different airline, a European airline. And so what happens is you get up to around $600. And I think right these days it's even a little bit higher. but it's you get 600 euros all the time, and then you get that extra if you're even flying on foreign metal and you're going between individual countries. If you have certain amounts of delays involved, then you're covered.
But let me ask you, because in many cases, I can buy a ticket from Lufthansa, which is a German airline, a large European airline.
Right.
I can buy a ticket from Lufthansa, and they may sell me a ticket on a plane that has a Lufthansa flight number, but it's operated by United Airlines. So, you know,
right,
it's Lufthansa 9715 operated by United Airlines, but I bought the ticket from Lufthansa. So am I covered in that sort of situation? Because many people do that sort of thing when they're traveling overseas. Oftentimes it saves them money on the fare.
Right. No, you're not covered. You're only covered if you fly on a Lufthansa metal airplane. So it's got a paint job that says, on the outside, it says Lufthansa. And, or it says, when you're flying in and out of Spain, it says Iberia. You know, that means you're flying on a foreign airline. And if you're not flying on that airplane, then what you do is, if you're flying from the United States to Europe, you're not covered. But if you're flying from Europe back to the United States, every airline is covered because they're flying out of Europe, and therefore they then fall under the European rules. The EU rules.
Tom, you're a little bit less of a aviation geek than Charlie and I. Is this making sense to you?
Yeah. I have to pay attention, though. You know, early on when we were talking foreign metal, I'm going, okay, now let's dig into this, see what we got going on here. Yeah, it does. But here again, it's a little complicated. You better pay attention to who you're flying with and what kind of metal that plane is.
Yeah,
and to determine whether you are covered or not. So I think most folks, like I say, you know, that especially those that fly, overseas to the EU, they probably figure this out.
So, Charlie, if you're in the European Union, let's say I'm in France, which is a European Union country, and I'm going to fly to Great Britain, I'm going to fly to London, which isn't in the EU, but because I'm in a European Union country, any outbound flight is covered by this protection plan.
Exactly. If you're flying from Paris back to New York, then you are covered. If you're flying from New York to Paris.
I said I got it, but I, you know what? Maybe I didn't get it after all.
Well, if you get into the weeds, it gets a little more complicated, but all you really need to know is that if you're flying out of this country to a European Union country, you're flying on their airline, then you're covered. If you're flying on a U.S. carrier, you're not. Coming back, everybody is covered if you're leaving from a European Union country. And while you're within Europe, if you're flying from a European Union country, no matter where you're flying to, this compensation thing covers you. Of course, there are rules and regulations. Your flight has to be delayed. What is it, Charlie? At least 3 hours?
I think it's three or four hours these days.
And it covers if your flight gets canceled also.
Yes. It also covers if your flight gets canceled and so on. Now, if it gets canceled, then you fall under the U.S. rules, and which are the same. You get all your money back for a canceled flight. But that doesn't always help you because if you just have a canceled flight, you still have to pay the new fare. And if you only got a one-way fare, it almost costs the same as a round-trip fare.
Yeah, so, a one-way walk-up fare can be kind of expensive.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Charlie Leoka with Travelers United about who's on first.
Yeah, exactly. About European.
You feel that way.
Yeah. Well, and it's EU Rule 261, and what you really kind of need to just put in the back of your mind, if you're a traveler, is that if you're in a European Union country and flying out of there, then this compensation rule basically covers you if your flight is delayed or canceled. And if you're the one point that I wanted to make with Charlie today is that there's a way to get covered when you're flying from the United States, and that is pick a European Union airline to fly over the pond, and then you're covered. If you're on a U.S. carrier, right, and they screw around with you and you don't get to go, or you wait half the night or something, then they have no liability. And I guess, Tom, the thing that really is interesting to me is that this European rule, and Charlie, you can weigh in on this too, this European 261 rule has been around for quite a while. And
oh yeah,
surely they have the same issues with airlines and airports and things like that in Europe that we do, and there are delays and cancellations and stuff like that. And somehow they have made this system work and compensate people when the airline screws up or they don't perform exactly the way that they're supposed to. So why the heck don't we have something like that in this country?
Well, we've been fighting like mad to try to get a certain coverage for us in the United States. And the DOT came out with coverage, but they set up as 6 hours, the difference between the United, when you landed in Europe. Right. If you were 6 hours late, then it ended up being additional, you got your money back and so on and so forth. But that was all erased by Trump.
Charlie, thanks for joining us today and giving us a little bit of a lesson here in EU Rule 261. Just if you travel to Europe, you can Google it. And keep a little file if you want on your phone, and so that if you ever get into a situation where you think that might apply, then it might get you a few dollars and a little bit of satisfaction. Charlie, be well in Washington. Thank you for your time today.
All I can say is I'm glad there is not a quiz at the end of the show on the EU 261. If you slice and dice it, it's not as complicated as it sounds.
Yeah, no, it really isn't, but it basically is holding the airlines accountable when it's their fault. So if you go someplace and there's a thunderstorm, then EU 261 doesn't kick in. But if you go someplace and your plane is broken and they can't get it fixed in time to get you on your way within a reasonable amount of time, then the airline has to pay a penalty to the passengers for that. Which seems like the best, not everything in Europe the system over there is a little more socialistic than it is in the United States. But in this particular aspect, I think they've nailed it. And somehow, 261's been around for a while now. So somehow the airlines have learned to live with it. And there are companies over there, if you ever get into a 261 situation where you need to get your money back, there are companies that will handle all of the paperwork for you. You just fill out a form and tell them what flight you were on and stuff like that. And then they submit it and they get a small cut out of it when it comes back to you. But then you're assured that it's submitted to the right place in the right format and all that kind of stuff. So if you ever get into a 261 situation where a flight is delayed in Europe and you think you might be entitled to compensation, there are companies that will help you prepare the forms for that.
We are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, heading towards the last 5 minutes of today's program. By the way, if you missed any of the first part and want to hear it again, or any of our shows previously, go to TravelGuysRadio.com and you'll find our podcast there, as well as at the homepage for Sactown Sports 1140. Thank you very much. And on Mix 96's website, too.
Okay. So, and you'll hear our travel tips on Mix 96 from time to time. One of my tour directors, Rosemary Holt, takes a group to Mexico, and she just did it to go down there and pet the whales and stuff like that. Really awesome trip. And she plays, when they get into the interior of Mexico, she plays Travel Guys radio shows on the bus sound system. So,
well, how cool.
Yeah, kind of neat. Hey, listen, before we run out of time here, I want to talk a little bit about security tips at the airport. For a lot of people who fly regularly, this is news that you already know. But for those who are infrequent flyers, this might be kind of important. When you're going up to TSA security, don't put your wallet, passport, jewelry in an easily accessible place. Don't put it in a security bowl. Put it in your carry-on bag. A lot of us carry backpacks, so that's perfect for that. And the other thing is, don't put that stuff into your backpack or your carry-on while you're standing there at the belt, okay? Because that's not good security. The good thing to do is once you get done at the ticket counter downstairs, stop at a bench, take all of your stuff in your pockets and put it into your wherever it is that you're going to put it to get through security. And then not as many people can see what you're doing. Also, you don't want see-through bags to go through security. We haven't come down to that yet. So you don't want to put, you don't want a see-through bag in your wallet and your, you know, your paper money and all that stuff is visible to everybody. That just, it doesn't, you know, let me tap you on the side of the head here. That doesn't make good sense. All right. Always check for everything you stored before leaving the security area. I mean, truly stand there for a second and go, okay, have I got everything? Because you would be floored. About 4% of people leave something behind at security. Most of them realize it immediately and come back. But, you know, if you've left something valuable and then you've got a process that you've got to go through if they've already found it and claimed it. So just make sure you have everything. Also, remember, distracted travelers make easy targets. So as you're going through security and you're in the security line and there's an issue or something while you're, you know, waiting to push your stuff through because there's five or six of you, just be on the alert, because this is when people who work in teams, one of them's in front of you, one of them's in back of you, the person in front causes a little disturbance and the person in back gets something from you. Or perhaps after you get on the other side of security, something can be taken from your bag. So distracted travelers are easy targets. The other thing is, if you're going to sleep in the airport, make sure your stuff is secure. Connect your bags and backpacks to a chair, a body part, anything like that. Run the straps of your backpack through your arm and put it over your chest, or put your, you know, one of the straps for your suitcase or something like that, put it around your leg or around the chair of the thing that you're laying on, or something that makes it very close. So make sure that your stuff is secure before you doze off. And also, don't look for an area in the airport. You know, you've missed your flight and you've got 4 hours, or you're stuck overnight or something like that. You're like, I just want a quiet area where I can be alone. No, you don't. You want an area where you aren't the only person, where there are some other people around. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're staying, you're stuck overnight in an airport, it's probably not going to be a crowd control situation if it's only your flight and a few others. So find a spot if you can where there are other people within a distance. So if somebody starts messing with your stuff or doing something that looks kind of weird, somebody else will notice it. And also, the more tired you are, the more careful you need to be with your things. So just when you're, I know that's probably a wisdom that you won't think of at that time, but, you know, darn it, if you're really tired, you're more likely to make stupid mistakes. So stop and think about it a little bit before you do some of these things. Also, look where you're going. People who look lost make immediate targets. So there you go. I have a bunch of other stuff, but I hear the music playing in the background, so I'll save it for another day.
All right, my friends, thanks for coming along, Mark.
See you next week at 11 o'clock. In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching. Have a great week.